there back. If anybody wants to spade it up and use it, it's theirs, and they can have everything that grows in it. If I did plant garden, I'd have to hoe it and weed it and a thousand other things all by myself. You just can't get anybody to do it, and I just don't believe I'll tackle that. You know, I was always a moon planter. Fred, did you ever plant with the moon? Oh, boy, you got it. And you just couldn't change me. My parents were not moon planters. They were not real Ozarkers, my people. They came to the Ozarks from Illinois in their early married life. But I grew up surrounded by moon planters, and I've seen it work too many times to disbelieve it. It's just like the what you find out in the laboratory. If it works so many times, you believe it. Somebody asked me a while back, what is the dark of the moon? Well, I refer you to the top-notch Ozarkian authority, Mr. Vance Randolph, the man who pioneered in Ozark's writing when nobody else was doing it. He says the dark of the moon is the period from the full moon to the new moon, the decrease or waning of the moon. The other half of the lunar season, from the new moon to the full, when the moon is waxing or increasing in size, is known as the light of the moon. I guess a lot of good old hillbillies knew that, but I thought I'd tell you. I wonder what our friend, the astrologer, Opal Porter at Willard, says. Did you know that we have one of the finest astrologers in the country right there at Willard? Opal Porter, Mrs. Opal Porter. She's a real wizard. Of course, vegetables that yield their food part under the ground should be planted in the dark of the moon. Now, Henry, don't look at me like that, because it's a fact. Potatoes, turnips, beets, onions, and the like. Ain't you heard that all your life, Fred? The dark of the moon. Now, these boys are looking at me like I'm a little bit crazy. Those that yield their edible crop above the ground are planted in the light of the moon. You used to be able to get calendars and almanacs everywhere, and they had all the signs. You know those signs of the zodiac, a funny-looking thing. We used to, when I was a little kid, we'd read calendars. Sometimes we couldn't get anything else to read. They used to do everything by the signs. You weaned your baby by the signs. You fished, you set hens, you did everything by the signs. Some old fella would sit around, he didn't want to hoe his garden today, and he'd have an excuse. He'd say, well, the signs ain't right. Everything with a sign. Instead of using the constellations, as the astrologers do, the old-time planters watched the signs for everything. And there's something to that, don't worry. The old-timers always thought the potatoes must be dug in the light of the moon or they'd rot. March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, was a great day to plant potatoes. There used to be an old belief against planting potatoes and onions too close together. The saying was that an onion makes the tater cry its eyes out. And truly, there is something about planting them close together. They never do so well. They planted beans when the sign was in the arms on the zodiac. Many people won't plant beans until after the first whippoorwill hollers. And there's one strict rule. Never plant beans in the afternoon. My dear friend Mrs. Morrow was with me last year. She planted some beans, and you couldn't get her to plant them in the afternoon, no ma'am. Always in the morning, or they'd do no good. And when they hulled the beans at the end of the season, they never burned the hulls. That would bring on a bad crop next year. I think that comes away back from the old idea that you must never destroy anything that can be eaten by man or beast. And those hulls could be eaten, you know, by the horses and the cattle and so on. When I was a child, it was a terrible thing to throw an apple core or peeling in the fireplace. They said you were feeding the devil. Cucumbers had to be planted on May the 1st before sunup. I want to tell you, before that, I saw Dewey Short's father one time when I was a little kid. Somebody threw a core in the fireplace, and he took the poker and got it out right now. Yes, ma'am. Now, you don't burn anything in the fire that could be eaten. You're feeding the devil. Now, I told you, cucumbers had to be planted on May the 1st before sunup. Now, remember this, and crawl out of that bed on May Day, May the 1st. Also, they believed that cucumbers planted by a woman never mounted anything. They used to say, don't let your old woman plant the pickles. People stick to February 14th, Valentine Day, for planting lettuce to this day. I know a lot of these sign planters, plenty of them. Oh, I know lots of them. Vance Randolph says in some of his writings that when Valentine Day fell on Sunday, down at Kingston, Arkansas, the people got up early before daylight to plant their lettuce so as not to be seen breaking the Sabbath. They're going to plant it on Valentine Day. There was an old rhyme, sow your turnips the 25th of July and you'll make a crop wet or dry. I'll never forget when a bunch of us were sitting around down Eureka Springs and we got to discussing gardens and vegetables, and someone said they didn't like turnips and called them poor man's grub. Old Booth Campbell, oh, he was a wise one. I tell you, we miss Booth. He said, well, turnips beats nothing. I've tried them both. And that's pretty good. Remember that as you go through life. If the meal doesn't suit you, you haven't got enough to eat, remember it beats nothing. Maybe you've tried them both. They used to say that corn must be planted when the oak leaves were as big as squirrel's ears. Some planted corn right after the first doves cooed in the spring. And a good farmer never had his hair cut during the oats growing season. It ruined his crop. I don't know why. But he didn't. Lots of people buried old shoes at the roots of peach trees, and they used to drive nails into peach trees, make them grow. Vance Randolph said one time he tried to find out the reason from an old man, and the old man growled. He growled at him. He says, them's family matters. Family matters. They used to say that a season that was good for tomatoes was bad for walnuts. Otto Rayburn, our great Ozark hillman and writer who died recently and just broke all our hearts, he said one time that many old-timers believed that if it rained on June the 20th, the grapes would all fall off the vines. Many believed that if you cut your sprouts on the 9th or 10th day of May, they would never grow again. That's when they cut sprouts. The dates for cutting sprouts used to be a mighty serious matter with the old-timers. Well, good luck to you anyway with all of your gardening. I'll have to tell you something. I planted 4 onion sets in a flower pot 3 weeks ago, and they're way up fine. That's an old Ozark superstition. You plant 4 onions real early, and that brings on a good crop of everything. That's before you ever plant your garden. So don't tell me I'm not a superstitious old hillbilly. Well, I want to thank everyone who responded to my call last Saturday for trading stamps to buy a bus for the retarded children at the state home at Marshall, Missouri. A woman writes me this morning to explain it's the state home at Marshall, Missouri. She said that her club would help us out, and that's a wonderful thing. I had a wonderful response in the stamps. There's a lot here this morning now when I arrive, and it surely surprised me, for actually, I didn't know whether the women would part with their trading stamps or not. Well, I've seen women that'd rather give you the shoes off her feet. But you know, women are wonderful everywhere. And several of them sent full books of stamps. This is going on now in other parts of the state. They're taking them up, and they hope to have the bus before too long. Dr. Reepman said this morning, how many stamps will it take to buy a bus? It'll take a good many, but we're going to get them. It is so badly needed up there. You know, the state is just overburdened. 2,300 children there of retarded mental capacity, and 950 children that nobody ever comes about. The parents send them a line or write. The parents dumped them there. Just go off and leave them. Dump them. Miss Carl Wyman here, an awfully good woman, is the publicity secretary of this. For the Home Association of Parents, it's like a PTA for that Marshall home. They got together over the state to do everything and anything they could for these unfortunate dear children. If you can, send me any sort of trading stamps. It doesn't matter what kind, because they already have arrangements made so that any stamps will be taken right up and they get cash for them. And Mrs. Wyman says that we should visit this place at Marshall and see these children and know what our state is trying to do. I told you about it last Saturday. The response about the stamps has come in each day this week, and I have notified Ms. Wyman, and she's come and gotten them. They're being carefully taken care of, friends. Remember that. And we're two good, honest women. Stamps have come to me from Springfield, from Sheldon, Missouri, and Clever, and Crane, and Warrensburg, from Harrison, Arkansas, and Bentonville, Arkansas, from Competition, Missouri, and several other towns I don't have right by me right now. But rest assured, I have received them all and have turned them over to her. Two ladies sent me some money, and I want to say here because I have no other way of handling this. A lady living on South Camel Street here sent me a check for $5 for the home and to go on the bus, but she forgot to sign the check. There's no name to it, and there's no name on her letter. So I can't call her or do anything about it. The check's on the Farmers and Merchants Bank here. This is from Springfield. Maybe she'll hear me on the air, and then she can call me. And thanks a thousand times. Mrs. Wyman says that Springfield and the surrounding Ozarks around about always come in with things ahead of any part of the state, like the huge truckload of toys and good used clothing they sent last Christmas for these patients in the hospital. She said she never saw such a truckload. It was ahead of any part of the state. And isn't it especially fine that the good women in three Arkansas towns would send stamps for this effort for those little children up here in Missouri? I tell you, no wonder I love Arkansas. It's full of grand people. When I was in St. Louis on radio, I talked so much about Arkansas, they used to come to the station and say, "We want to see that lady from Arkansas." And that reminds me real quickly, I want to tell you, that my grand friend Sam Leith, of many years, Ozark guide and traveler, and 50 years Chamber of Commerce man, and loved everybody in the state. Sam's been awfully sick in the hospital in Eureka, but he's on the mend now. He fell and broke his leg on that late ice, and he was not very well anyway. But Sam is a man of great courage and faith and willpower, as is also his wife, Marion. I do hope Sam is still improving. I'll likely hear this week, and I'll write this week again, too. I had a wonderful letter from his wife, Marion, last week telling me all about it. Sam is far into the 80s now, but he looks 20 years younger. A handsome man as you ever saw, with some Indian blood and all the fine, loyal, upright traits that go with it. You know, so many of our fine Ozark people have Indian blood, Cherokee. Small bit, but it shows up. My husband did. Sam is a specialist and a writer in Indian lore and history, and they call him the man who knows more about the American Indian than God does, and I believe he does. He's one of the pioneers of Eureka Springs, the place he loves. Send Sam a get-well card, whether you know him or not. He'll love it. Just Sam Leith, L-E-A-T-H, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. That'll reach him from the ends of the earth, wherever you send it. God bless you, Sam. My time's up and time marches on, so I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.